Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Are you glorified fry cook?
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
We're prepared. We're professionals there.
Yeah, Mike looks up and goes from his Facebook gossip group. Mike is in gossip groups on Facebook. And they're all gossiping about Mike. He's lurking in them. He's under. In case you're wondering, if you're in any of the What's Mike Doing groups, if you see Pedro Epstein on there.
Pedro.
Pedro Epstein is Mike's alias.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's the alias he
thought
uses.
I thought it was Bailey's in jail. Is in jail. But anyway, good Easter Sunday morning to everybody. What a beautiful day it started out to be.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Easter, y'all.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got a very encouraging text message last night.
Yeah?
A friend of mine, Larry Moons, letting me know that he's doing leg of lamb for Easter instead of the one thing that should never grace an Easter table, which is pork.
No.
Yeah, keep in mind, Easter should be obeying Levitican law, which is no pork.
Mm-hmm.
So,
plenty of time the rest of the year to have pork.
Right. What I understand is that the tradition of eating pork on Easter was from Christians thumbing their nose at Jews. It's not a good thing. It's a ha-ha, we can do this, which is just against everything Christ taught about. So.
Yeah.
So, way to fulfill for prophecy.
I like lamb.
I like lamb. I like lamb a lot.
I like lamb. Anyway. Yeah. Well, welcome to the show.
What's the name of the show?
Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
Hey, that's a good name for
a show. It's a wine and food show.
You know what's a good name?
What's that?
At Sip and Chew Show on TikTok.
On TikTok?
TikTok. We got a TikTok.
We TikToking now?
Yeah, we're TikToking a little bit. The first thing that I learned when going to TikTok is that at 53 years old, I am too old to be on TikTok.
Well, try being 63.
Yeah. Yeah, you got no business being on it.
I'm a millennial.
The wrong millennial.
So I've been told I am a millennial by one of our viewers or listeners on Facebook page.
No, you're a boomer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
You are a boomer.
Yes, I am.
You're in the generation that is known as baby boomers.
Yeah.
So you're a boomer.
There's a lot of us born back in those days.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of you dying right now. But that is the circle
of
life. Well, no, it's the circle of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. We gotta make room for the next people we gotta take care of. So y'all need to go to Mars or, you know, go on vacation.
I'm gonna be frozen and then brought back. How about that?
Like Disney?
Yeah. Not like
Captain America.
Like some people have frozen their bodies.
Like Khan?
Huh?
Khan was frozen.
Was he? Yeah.
Like Han Solo?
No, Khan. Oh, yeah. She's talking about the carbonite. I will tell you, I intend to get this for the door of my office when I'm done redecorating and painting and everything.
Mm-hmm.
There is a door mural that covers your entire bedroom door that is Han Solo frozen in carbonite. So it looks like you've got him hanging up on your wall.
I'll be darned.
I think that adds a touch of class to the office.
Yeah.
That's class.
And I have a print that's framed on the wall right now that's four stormtroopers gathered together taking a selfie. And over their shoulder is the lightsaber fight between Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi. I think he's just hilarious.
See, I just...
Yeah. Mike's like, whatever happened to good old-fashioned sci-fi? Star Trek. Forbidden Planet.
Star Trek with the terrible overacting, but
Star Trek The Next Generation remains today considered one of the greatest series ever in television history.
Yeah.
The scripts were phenomenal. The acting was off the charts of any television show in American history.
Back in the 50s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. That kind of acting, I mean, it was overacting and it was terrible acting, but it's classic. And, I mean,
And it's always
Shatner
bad.
Made it.
Yeah, look at Shatner. How old is he now?
90.
He just
Captain
turned 90.
Captain Kirk is 90
yep.
years old this
and
year.
And he still looks good.
He could whoop us. Especially that thing where he takes two hands and puts them together. Anyone that's taken any kind of martial arts hates that when he does it in a fight. Because there's no power in that at all. You couldn't hit a three-year-old kid and hurt him with that. It takes all of the power out of a swing, like an axe swing without an axe.
Hitting three-year-old kids, boy.
Hey, the future's rough, buddy. Mm-hmm. The future, you got Dominion Wars, you got Klingons. Are they friends? Are they enemies? We can't keep up. It changes every series. So. There's your Star Trek moment. Have Easter.
Just don't wear a red coat. The red top.
The fiction, the novels. Mm-hmm. You know, all of these sci-fi franchises, TV and movie, have novels written around them for the real people. I've read some of the Star Trek Next Generation novels. They were pretty good. They try to go back through and retcon all of the red shirts that died in the one episode they were in and build out their characters in the books.
Oh.
So you get to know them. Yeah. So there's something for you, Mike. Mike, you know what books
are. I'm impressed.
Are. Books were those things that replace the stone tablets that had engravings on them when you were in school.
Yeah, but the other tablets have replaced books.
Yeah.
Now, so.
Yeah. Natural order of things.
I know it.
Yep.
I know it.
A paper book is a wonderful technology when you don't have liquid crystal diodes and isolinear integrated circuits. So there you go. Lord rose today so we could talk about Star Trek. It's been a good week. I've watched a lot of Star Trek this past week, movies, because I have Dust, the network Dust. You can find it on your digital thing temporarily on like 3.3, but it's a 24/7 network.
Oh, I get I can get to all the 3.6
right.
easily.
And they'll occasionally 3.3 will do like 6 hours solid of Dust's programming, which is an online network that just serves sci-fi. They choose one really good movie a month and play it every day, sometimes twice a day. And in March, it was Star Trek Generations, which is where the two casts came together and finally Kirk died and we could all enjoy Star Trek again. This month it's Star Trek First Contact, which was largely received as the best of the Star Trek Next Generation movies, where they come back to Earth, fight the Borg, time travel, and
all those Easter classics.
Yeah, all the Easter classics. And you know, there's people out there today on Easter Sunday that are having crawfish boils just like they did back in Israel.
I'm going to one today.
Good for you.
That's
fantastic. I think that is my favorite Easter meal. Crawfish.
I have a friend. His name is Elvis. Elvis is still alive. Anyway, he has a big crawfish bowl on Easter Sunday every year.
Thanks for inviting me, buddy. Thanks.
Right.
Every year, huh? Every year you go to this.
Well, he hadn't been here in 2 years. He's been working out of state, and so he's back in town. Elvis is back in town.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah. That is good to know.
Him and his lovely wife, they throw it. And on Christmas Day, they have a misfit party for all their friends that are single, that have no family here. And
well, that's nice.
They throw a Christmas party.
That's very nice.
It's a lot of fun.
I understand, at least in pre-COVID days, that there was a Mardi Gras ball in Mobile every year that you couldn't attend if you were from Mobile. It was just for visitors. I don't know.
Never heard of that.
Yeah. That it was set up just so people from out of town could come and experience it and not have to worry about getting tickets to the local balls and probably not deal with some of the yahoos at the local balls. Not all of them have yahoos, but if Mike Bailey's there, you got at least one yahoo. Wouldn't you agree? Because I'll tell you right now, Mike is the type that halfway into the Mardi Gras ball, he's riding a Marshall stack like it's a bucking Bronco, and he is singing ABBA at the top of his lungs.
Love ABBA.
He's up there, Dancing Queen.
Especially stuff out of
what?
The disco era, which when that's where they were mainly around was disco.
Or their
era.
Kids, Ace of Base.
I didn't know that.
Not really their kids, but that's always been the joke, because there's only been two musical acts to come out of that country.
Yeah.
And both of them featured a blonde and brunette female and two guys. and they didn't play any instruments.
They got tired of each other, and they married each other's wives. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, they got divorced and married they each married the other one's wife.
Now that sounds like some real
weird.
Some Jefferson Starship Mamas and the Papas stuff.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of that going around back.
Well, Fleetwood Mac, I think Stevie Nicks dated everybody in the band.
I wish I had been in the band. I think far and away the most fetching woman from that era of music. She's just bewitching.
She spins around too much.
Ah, I like it.
Makes me dizzy.
All right, folks, you want to get in on the action? 343-0106.
Maybe we'll talk about food and wine when we come back.
We'll see. More Star Trek.
Make me happy.
Make me happy.
Make me feel fine.
Make me feel fine.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All them cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight. When it gets drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine, spoodie-oodie, drink wine, mop, mop, wine, spoodie-oodie, drink wine, mop, mop, wine, spoodie-oodie, drink wine, mop, mop, pass that bottle to me.
Well, welcome back to the Star Trek versus Star Wars. Show.
They are both great franchises, but scientifically, Star Trek is based in actual science that works, could possibly work. There's no science behind Star Wars. It's just good storytelling. It's great storytelling.
I love the episode when Bugs Bunny took the wrong. Didn't turn.
Should have taken a left at Albuquerque.
Yeah, and it ended up.
Hey, you sent me a message the other day that you wanted to talk about wine. Talk about it.
Yeah, you know, the significance of wine in Easter time.
Significance.
The significance of wine in Easter.
Like Manischewitz.
You caught me off guard.
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
While he's pulling that up, I'll tell you where I ate. How about that?
Go ahead.
I ate at a place that I believe you are quite familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Hokie's Barbecue and Grill over in Loosedale.
That is a cool place.
And I posted that, you know, I have only eaten at a handful of barbecue places in Mississippi, which mm-hmm. I should probably rectify. They have a wonderful tradition in barbecue, as most southern states do. I should get out and explore it.
Mm-hmm.
But of the handful that I've tried, far and away the best barbecue in Mississippi. And I think part of that is the Mississippi style of barbecue calls for a much sweeter sauce than I like.
Yeah.
I think Brad and them do a good job at the shed with their barbecue, but the sauce was just, to me, it was cloyingly sweet. And I would just prefer no sauce at all when it's mm-hmm. like that. But that's a personal preference. The folks in Mississippi love a really sweet sauce. So that's what I get when I'm in Mississippi. Because that's the local flavor. And that's right. What I want to enjoy. But the other place that I ate, let me pull up my phone because it just left my body as soon as I mentioned the whole statement. Yeah, Taquiera Mexico over. Used to be RBS Chicken Shack.
Oh,
it's been a Mexican restaurant for about 10 years now. It's fantastic. It's
I love that place.
It is great. And they have a market inside.
I forgot all about the Chicken Shack.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to do.
Mm-hmm. This hasn't been around 10 years.
Right. Well, there was also, and you know, we're 10 years gone from that now. I can be arrogant if I want to. The only thing that ever sold at that restaurant was the specials that I ran. The food that was on the menu, we were mm-hmm. not, the chef before me read, wasn't allowed to touch it either. It was all the owner's idea what he thought people should like.
And, yeah, I've worked with people like that.
Yeah, and he was convinced.
Just because they like it, everybody should love it.
Yeah, and he was convinced that not a single person in America liked crispy bacon. They wanted it barely cooked and sloppy. And I'm like, dude,
wiggly,
I'm not even going to sell that. Uh-uh. It's not legal. It has to be cooked to at least 140 degrees.
Right.
You know, and, you know, he called himself RBS Chicken Shack. Well, if you go to New Orleans, go to a chicken shack, what do they have? They have fried chicken. Guess what was not on the menu there?
Chicken?
Fried chicken. The only thing they had were chicken tenders dipped in panko that went in the fryer just long enough to set it up, and then they roasted them in the oven the rest of the time. It was terrible. Jason Lafferty, you remember Jason, he was over Culinard's cooking school. They paid him $4,000 to come in there and go down what they needed to do to save the restaurant. He said, well, the first thing is you walk in, you have gray walls, gray floors, gray tablecloths. All of the artwork is black and white. It looks like a dentist's office. It doesn't look like a place you want to eat. He went down and said, I don't care what you like. The people in this area like crispy bacon. So cook the bacon crispy. You've got Chicken Shack in the name. Get some fried chicken.
Wow.
Once he knew all of these things. That was the third consultant to tell him that. We don't know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I come in, I'm the last chef there, telling him the same stuff. Y'all don't know what y'all are talking about. 6 weeks later, I go to pick up my check, and there's a chain on the door, and all the furniture that belonged to the restaurant, not the restaurateur, has been sold out of the back door at the end of the night. Yeah. So none of us got our last paycheck. None of us got our vacation, and the couple that owned it skipped to Thailand.
Oh, wow.
You wonder why I'm looking to retire. It's just been 30 years of running into folks like that.
Yeah. So.
But, you know, but I met, her name was April, I believe the last name is Baker. She works with the Battle House now. One of the best servers I've ever met in my entire life. Very professional. She and her husband were into running marathons. They both look like they should be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And they're amateur sausage makers, Mike.
Really?
Yes. And they brought in a Thai sausage that is unbelievable. And you couldn't handle it, son. That stuff
that
was spicy.
Hot.
Yeah.
Oh.
Best, one of the best sausages I've ever had in my life. Really good. So tell me about your wine.
Why would you make a sausage so hot that you can't eat it?
All right. Real quick, and then you can talk about your wine. They have linked the spiciness of food to the closer your culture is to the equator.
Mm-hmm.
Spicy food promotes sweating, which keeps you cooler in those climates.
Yeah.
Thailand is right on the equator.
Okay.
So the spicier the food, the more it cools your entire body off.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I think it's brilliant.
I've learned something today.
There you go. How about some how about some wine?
Well, you know, I really looked to see what the trends are today,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to 10 years ago when the Chicken Shack was around.
Right.
What would you pair with the Chicken Shack food that isn't chicken? Anyway, you know what a lot of people are going to?
What?
Champagne sparklings.
Why not?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It works well with lamb.
Especially to start off a meal.
Yeah.
Because that gets
conversation
going.
It gets good icebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
But champagne / sparklings.
Right.
Because there is a difference.
Yeah.
They're most of them are produced the same way.
Right.
The Champenois method. But people are, you can use champagne / sparkling throughout the entire meal now. Because some of them are made, some of them are made heavier than they used to be. A lot of them are made heavier. And the French have been doing it forever with the rosé sparklings because it has Pinot Noir in them. So my suggestions, mm-hmm. if you're, and I know this is kind of late, I should have made these suggestions last week, are the rosés, sparkling rosés. The Brut, which is 100% Chardonnay. The rosés are usually a blend of Pinot Noir, or either 100% Pinot Noir, or if you see Blanc de Noir, that's Chardonnay and Pinot Noir blend. Still got a kind of a rusty hue to it. But also today, Rieslings, man. I'm a big fan of Riesling. Now, I don't like the Cairo syrup stuff that hangs around the back of your palate, the back of your mouth, right where it turns to go down.
Right.
It hangs around like Cairo syrup, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you want a dry Riesling, which the dry Riesling means you're going to get all the sweetness up front
mm-hmm.
and on the middle palate, but on the finish, it's dry.
Right.
Leaves you lingering for another sample.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not a holiday for Gewürztraminers. Like Thanksgiving is.
Right.
Because Gewürztraminer is real spice. It has a lot of spices in it, which goes well with, you know, all the seasoning. We tend
Whole
to use.
Or crawfish that you have at Easter.
There you go. Yeah.
Or the
That's
gumbo.
That's an idea.
Or the traditional
That's an idea.
Easter gumbo.
There you go.
Just like the disciples.
Huh? Right. But we want to stay in that drink, mostly light to white wines. But if you are a red wine drinker, Pinot Noir. Now, I don't know if the Burgundian style would work because it's so big and earthy.
Hey, the people in France just say, stop calling it Burgundy.
I know.
Yeah. Well, Burgundian.
It's Burgundian, not Burgundy. That's like Chilean.
Chilean?
Yeah, Chilean and Chilean. I've been there. They say Chilean.
Mm-hmm.
Like Chilean sea bass. Not
no one
Chilean
I've ever met from the Caribbean has ever pronounced it Caribbean. It's Caribbean.
No.
The people in
My friend from Jamaica.
See? He says, I haven't met anyone from Jamaica.
He said it's Caribbean.
Yeah. Everyone I've met from the Virgin Islands.
It's the British that call it Caribbean. It's the British that call it Caribbean.
Well, Jamaica was the only British colony.
But they call it Caribbean.
To thumb their nose at the British? I can see that.
I don't know.
Yeah. But like the Virgin Islands, there's no such thing as the Caribbean. It's Caribbean. Because it's named after the Carib Indians.
Yeah.
So.
But.
Yeah. Which, by the way, that's who Columbus first met and then slaughtered on his first trip over here, was the Carib Indians.
Yeah. I wonder what wine.
what wine he served with smallpox.
Yeah. But going back to the Pinot.
Yeah.
Use something that's more.
Now, this is a sparkling Pinot?
We're into the red wine now.
Oh, okay.
Use the more California tradition, which is going to be a more fruit forward on the palate than the Oregon style Pinot Noir or the Chilean style Pinot, because they make a pretty good Pinot. New Zealand makes a really good Pinot, Burgundian style.
Burgundian.
Yeah. And then, of course, the French, they make it Burgundian.
Because they invented it?
Yes.
Yeah. So they're pretty good at it.
But
it's just like there's a lot of blackening seasonings on the market.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul Prudhomme invented it. You're not going to get better than that. You're going to get different.
Yeah.
But, well, look at there.
See, one of my ex-wives used to have been doing blackened food forever. Before it ever got famous.
I thought it was your mom. 343-0106.
I don't think burning counts.
But sparklings, like I said, sparklers are very popular right now. And if you get one with a Pinot Noir in it.
Excellent.
That's even better.
Cool beans. Sparkling. Yes. Put a big warm bun and a huge hunk of meat.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
We have some cool bumper.
Huh?
We have some cool bumper.
Yeah. Stuff that needs to go away forever, yeah. Like red wine.
Why?
No. Only be played on the commercials. If we're playing in the commercial, it shouldn't be played during the show. Because we got so many good songs in our folder that we never hear because the random music picker picks red wine every week. Picks the same five songs just about every week.
Mm.
So all of them that we hear every week, I want out of the folder.
We haven't played the
We've
guys.
Got all of Alton Brown's music. That's all we should be playing is Alton Brown's.
According to Alton Brown Bible, maybe, but no.
No. It's all songs about eating.
Well, see, I love the song about eating steak.
There's a song about eating steak.
The guy, yeah, eat steak, you know, that one.
Oh,
and then, we do.
Okay.
Toss salad and scrambled eggs, and then.
We hadn't heard it in 6 months.
Probably not.
Yeah, because all we hear is red wine and whatever that junk was.
And then.
What was that?
That's war.
Yeah.
From the 70s. What are you talking
Spill
about?
Spill the Wine?
It's
I love Spill the Wine.
Yeah, it was a great song 8 years ago, but now I hear it every Sunday for 8 years.
We're going to get a wrestling match here in a minute.
Right?
And I'm going to get my belt. My wrestling belt.
Oh, I was going to say, you going to pull your belt off and whoop me?
No, I'm going to get my wrestling belt.
Yeah,
shine.
I just all the stuff we hear every Sunday, I want to stop hearing.
And then
we've got like 100 songs.
And then the two guys that pull up to the drive-thru.
Oh, well, but we don't play that going
in.
That's a segment in itself.
That's hilarious. I love that. I love those guys. They're funny.
I got a question.
What's that?
Where'd you eat?
I don't know. Let me look.
You didn't come prepared for doing a show at all, did you?
I've been up most of the night. My body. See, part of the after effects of COVID. For me, it's been my body aching, and it's hard to sleep when you got your body aching.
Take some ibuprofen.
I have been, but I don't think I ate this week.
Well, that's not good at all.
I'm fasting again.
Oh, okay. I'm fattening. It's way more fun than fasting.
Y'all should see this picture that Stu sent me. You'll see it. You'll learn about it soon.
Did I send you a picture? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that picture.
Yeah, that's just a work in progress. Where are you in your progress? Wherever Missy is with doing part of your costume?
I'm looking for certain parts.
All you need is a T-shirt. We're not going to do the whole, we're not shooting anything below the waist.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, just so you know, we don't have to wear pants at all.
But I go and I'm looking for a cape. I'm going to have to order my cape offline.
I got mine offline and it was dirt cheap and came with a free mask. And everyone's out there going, what are they doing?
Well, the ones.
Don't worry about it. Just wait.
Well, the ones I tried, it says fits all sizes, but it goes to my waist. And
that's all it needs to go. That's as far as we need.
No, man, I want to float in the air, you know.
Well, that's going to cost you $100.
No, it's not.
Yeah, those. Yeah, I think mine with the mask was like $7 off of Amazon. You shouldn't be buying that local because there's no such thing as a local costume shop.
I just don't like Amazon.
Why?
I don't.
That's idiotic.
That's sending money out of the country, out of the city. Probably sending it out of country, too.
Dude, I don't care. Well, if someone in the city is going to sell something that's within 10% of that price, mm-hmm. sure. But when I have to pay three times as much for it, no, I'm not going to honor that.
No, some things.
That's ridiculous.
When I was staying with Becky and she was nurturing
plus,
me.
Plus, you're still not supposed to be going out shopping right now. We're not done.
We are by Friday. But anyway, yeah. every time when Becky was healing me and get me well.
Yeah.
I had to watch out when I walk out the door in the morning because I might trip over an Amazon box.
Mm-hmm. That's a sign of a life lived well.
She didn't get out. What do you mean? She had all her groceries
Amazon
delivered.
Amazon is in Tillman's Corner.
I know.
Yeah. A lot of
so is that big Walmart store, warehouse, too.
They got one?
Theodore. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, 2 million square foot.
So it's all local.
When all the flat screen TVs come in through the Port of Mobile, they're put on a rail car or truck, and they go down to Theodore, and then they're distributed throughout the Southeast.
And then you and your gang go in with crowbars, wearing ski masks, and y'all boost them up, and you'll see y'all sitting on the corner of a road selling.
When we get our stimulus check, we go buy one. Two of them. Oh, man. Have you been in a Best Buy lately?
No.
God.
No one has been in a Best Buy lately.
Oh, I have. That really? Place is full of flat screen TVs.
Know what it's not full of? People.
No.
You know what Best Buy is good for?
You can buy a flat screen TV in there. You just can't buy the things that I want to buy.
Yeah. Well, the best thing about Best Buy
order it online.
Is if, say, and I'll use laptops because that's where it's most useful. If there's a laptop that you're interested in, you go into Best Buy and you type on it. See if the keyboard's where you want it, where everything is. Like, I love this little computer. I got this little Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
But to get the size right, the keys are not where they are on 90% of keyboards.
Yeah.
Some of them are 2 inches away from where they normally are, and I have to get used to it. That's the kind of stuff you can do if you can try something before you use it. Then you find the laptop you like at Best Buy, and you go home and you order it from Amazon or Walmart or someone else because they're going to be 50% cheaper than Best Buy.
See, that's the difference in your generation than mine.
Mine is still going to be here in 20 years?
I may be here in 20 years.
We'll see. I think you got it in you.
I may be here. I made it this far.
Yeah, but, dude, when it comes to stuff that isn't made in your town, like a laptop, it doesn't matter where you buy it.
Yeah.
All of that money leaves the town. There's no one locally selling computers that 70% of that dollar stays in Mobile.
I know.
So, and
I just don't like shopping. I like when I go. When I go shopping, I've got to put my hands on it.
Well, yeah,
I got to walk.
You go to Best Buy.
I got
to put
walk,
your hands on
I gotta
it. And you order it from someplace.
I
got to
walk out
sense.
The door with that product.
Oh, that's just childish. You need to grow up, sir.
That's the way I am.
Now sure. I get you with these furniture stores where you go in to buy a couch.
Mm-hmm.
And we got all these couches. And they show you a couch. You go, I love that couch. I'll take it. And they go, all right, it'll be done in about 2 months. Why are you open?
Yeah.
You know, you don't sell. And I've been home store maybe. They don't sell anything. There's nothing you can walk in that store and leave with.
Mm-hmm.
Then just put it online then.
I bought a mattress and it was delivered within 2 days.
I bought a mattress off of Amazon. Was delivered in a day. costs less than $200. It is the same mattress they sell on TV for $1,000.
They happen to have it in their warehouse at the time, in the Mobile warehouse.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. That thing is huge. They've got the same stuff in just about all of them.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just the specialty stuff.
I had to wait 2.5 weeks on a camera.
When was this? During COVID?
A year and a half ago.
Okay. Then it wasn't made. They were making that for you. Hmm? That's usually when that comes up, it means there's not one in existence. They have to build it. It's just like the guitar I just bought, the acoustic electric. This is the one I want. Well, that one's on back order, be at least a month. Well, that's the one I want. Well, we've got it in other colors, but I want that color. So I was willing to wait.
Yeah.
You know,
things like that, I understand.
Yeah. And it was just simply they had to make it.
I want things immediately when I want when I'm
going. That is not your generation. That is the millennial generation that has to have everything immediately.
No, it's our generation. We see something on TV we want. We go look at it. We smell it. We touch it.
Lick it.
Whatever.
Okay.
And we want to walk out the door and take it home with us.
Well, that's ridiculous. I like to do that too.
I wonder if food was that way. Wonder if food was that way, and you go place your order. Now there are some restaurants into, and you order your food, and 2 days later you finally get it. You know, I'm exaggerating.
This is on the thing. You know how restaurants right now are dying for anyone to stop sitting at home collecting a check and come in and work. Well, it's not going to happen until they end the checks. So
exactly.
So most people realize you go to a restaurant, especially a drive-thru, you're going to be there a long time.
Yeah.
And you should, and you shouldn't get upset about it because the option to go home and make a bologna sandwich, but you're too lazy. Mm-hmm. Every meal you eat that you don't cook is a luxury. There's no such thing as a necessity meal
if you don't have any bologna at home.
Then you have bread, and it's called a jam sandwich. Jam, two slices of bread
together. I used to put sugar in bread and eat it when I was a kid.
That's bizarre. But, you know, it was the Great Depression.
You
ate
chips.
What you could. Yeah. But every meal that you ever eat that you don't prepare is a luxury.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them. Mm-hmm. The only meals that are necessities are the ones you get up off your butt and fix.
Yeah.
If someone else does it, it's a luxury. If my mom cooked it, that was a luxury. Mm-hmm. You know? When you know this, you're single, you live by yourself, I'm the same way. You want a meal at home, you get up and cook it, right?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. That's how feeding is supposed to be.
See, I buy in bulk.
Well, you eat in bulk.
This is big old Mike Bailey there. Anyway.
Happy Easter, y'all.
but I will. I'll take something out that morning to thaw right. out.
Yeah.
And then when I get home, you know, I look at it. Mm-hmm. And they go buy something to eat.
Yeah.
I don't want to eat that tonight.
Right. And that is lazy consumerism,
mm-hmm.
which we're all guilty of. I'm not saying I'm not the same way.
I'm a grown man, and I can do what I want.
Right.
And if I want to thaw something out and then not cook it that
cook it and then eat something else, eat it the next day.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do the same thing. I had a beef shoulder roast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's 11 pounds of meat. I can't eat that by myself.
Yeah.
But I smoked it. Quartered it and stuck 3/4 in the freezer. So now when I get a hankering for some smoked beef, I pull it out, let it thaw out, and I'm ready to go.
Cool.
You know, and so I've got 2 chickens in the freezer, and I'm thinking, I cannot eat 2 chickens by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I may end up breaking those down into individual pieces and putting – check this out. I coat them in, like, buttermilk and flour.
You know, I was
– Then I'm going to put them in hot oil, and I fry them. Crazy, huh?
I was going to ask you, when you do chicken, what do you do to spice it up a bit?
Oh, I put a bottle of Tabasco sauce inside a jug of buttermilk, put the chicken in it, leave it overnight.
There you go.
Yeah. That I haven't found anything that is better for the brining, for the flavoring and all that. It does not make it spicy.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives it a little tang. And if you don't like Tabasco, you can use Crystal. Crystal is very good in there. Any hot sauce. Valencia. Which is one of the more economical of the Mexican hot sauces. It's not very hot at all.
Yeah.
But it has a wonderful flavor. Probably the best thing that I put in there. Old Bay now makes a hot sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And since my seasoning for the flour on my fried chicken is always Old Bay and pretty much nothing else.
That's one of my favorite seasonings is Old Bay, half Old Bay and half Cavenders mixed together.
Good.
That's not bad. 343-0106. You can text, you can call,
this
or
is
you
our
can
last
ignore
segment.
Ever? That's sad.
Can y'all hear us? Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? Bottle of white.
Bottle of red.
My voice.
Perhaps you should have sold instead. Get a table near the street in our old familiar place. You and I face to face.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu. Makes me forget that I still so
red, red wine. Brand new iPad, and I locked myself out of it the first day, and I had to go take it to them and
get them done. Like.
Yeah. All right. You posted something about some Wayne last night.
Yeah.
Are we on air?
Yeah. Put your headphones on and you'll know.
Okay.
That's why you can't hear anything.
Okay.
Them right there?
All right. Let me see this.
Okay. All right.
Dublin Fire. What okay. is. Y'all, that, last night.
It's in the comments. All you had to do was read the comments.
Well,
there was nobody there to read them for you.
Our listeners. All right. Yeah. What we're talking about. Stu posted a picture of some Wayne's he did.
I will read the post for you. How's that?
And then he talked about a Dublin Fire sauce.
Okay.
Right?
It's not a sauce.
What is it?
Here's the post.
Okay.
Gonzaga is a sentimental favorite. My mother called Spokane home for many years. Two types of wings, Buffalo and Dublin Fire with homemade blue cheese dressing. Dublin Fire was a dry rub that we came up with at Lucky that could be both spicy and tastes like food from the UK.
Yeah.
It is.
Bland.
Well, no, the spicy takes care of that.
Right.
It is a little bit of salt, a lot of sage, and cayenne pepper.
Okay.
Just as a rub.
Okay.
And I loved it, and I was in the mood for it last night. So
okay.
It's very simple to make. And David Rasp commented, and like I said, had you read the comments, you would have had your answers.
Mm-hmm.
But
our
he wanted
listening audience
did. I could have just read my answer.
That's why I ask.
I've given you so much flack today. I
know
apologize.
You have a lot.
Well, you're finally healthy and can handle it again.
Yeah, I got
2 months of picking to make up on.
You do,
yeah.
Okay,
theoretically. David asked the same question you did. What exactly is this? Sounds intriguing. So I explained it in a comment, and David said the same thing that I feel is. I love dry rubs on chicken wings as much as I do a wet sauce because then you get to keep the crispiness. And unfortunately, physics do not allow for you to have a fried chicken wing dipped in a liquid and it still be crispy without drying the chicken. And there are a lot of people who go, man, I don't care how dry you get your chicken. I just want the skin crisp. Well, just don't get any sauce on it. You don't have to eat dry chicken.
Yeah,
you're a dunker.
I'm a dunker.
Right.
A dipper or a dunker.
Yeah, you don't want yours tossed because you like that texture.
Mm-hmm.
And but you're – I mean – You're applying heat and moisture. One of them's going to win out, and it's always moisture because guess what? The heat creates more moisture from condensation. So if you really like the crispy wing, get a dry rub on it.
Yeah.
And what is the place? They bake, not fried. Nas owned them, the wings place. Island Wings.
Island Wings.
They have probably equal amounts dry rubs to liquids.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were just fantastic. You know, lemon pepper seasoning on wings, terrific.
Yeah.
That's a great one. That's a dry rub. We were talking about Old Bay.
Garlic Parmesan.
Yeah, that's good. Of course, the way I've done garlic Parmesan, you take a whole bunch of garlic and a whole bunch of Parmesan cheese, you add it to ranch dressing and toss it in there. Because now you're covering up the nastiness of the ranch dressing with flavors that are actually pleasing, and it gives it some glue to hold it on there.
You just reminded me of a lady I know who's a waitress and on – April Fool's Day, she went around and told all her tables they were out of ranch. That was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
That was hilarious. That's brilliant.
Next week, Carl Tilley more than likely is going to join us on the show. He's going to tell us about all of the hidden gems he's found in Mississippi now that he's moving back to home and he's getting out venturing around with his job. I mean, that's what he does. He sells them their food, he's finding a lot of great little spots that you and I didn't know about. That are right
the George's corner store in Van Cleve.
Yeah. I mean, that, of all that was places. Him that shared that with me. That was good stuff. But, boy, I had a point to this, and we got off talking about that. But
it's like the barbecue.
Carl said he did a special dinner with an ensalada caprese. And for folks who don't know, it's the oldest salad in any recipe book. And it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
It is sliced tomatoes, fresh mozzarella, basil, drizzle of olive oil. Some people do basil, balsamic vinegar as well. Mm-hmm. I tend to not want the balsamic, but I don't mind it when it's there.
Yeah.
He had someone ask for ranch dressing on this. I'm sorry. There is no justification for putting ranch dressing on ensalada caprese. If that's what you like, you need to stay home and eat that.
Mm-hmm.
You should be embarrassed for going out putting ranch dressing.
Don't eat that in public.
The whole thing about this dish, and this is what gets me with ranch on salads. If you like ranch, it's great, but don't put it on a salad. It doesn't belong there. Because those creamy dressings, they cover up the flavor of all the vegetables. Well, if you don't like vegetables, don't eat salad.
Yeah.
You know? I want to taste the vegetables that are in a salad, and you can't do that with ranch or a Thousand Island or French or even blue cheese, which I love, which is why I like the blue wedge.
Mm-hmm.
A wedge salad, because iceberg is useless.
Yeah.
It has no nutritional value. It has no flavor. I don't see why people eat it. I don't understand. You go pull a piece of bark off a pine tree. It's healthier and tastes better.
I do. I'm a wedge guy. I love the wedge.
Drenched in blue cheese and bacon where you know this is not about eating healthy. This is I need something to put all this bacon and blue cheese
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
I get that. But
I'm going to tell you, 219 downtown, Todd Henson's place, great wedge salad. Great wedge salad.
An underappreciated place.
It's a huge salad, too.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a meal.
Yeah.
It's not just a side. It's a meal.
Yeah.
And I usually get a soup, which he has incredible soups all the time. Three mushroom, his tomato basil is phenomenal. I don't like tomatoes, tomato juice, tomato whatever like that in a liquid form, but I will eat his tomato basil.
Tomato basil?
Tomato basil.
And basil? Tomato basil.
Tomato basil. But he does a phenomenal job there.
Yeah.
And that little kitchen.
Yeah, and how long have they been open? What, 20?
Long time.
Yeah, at least 20.
Long time, because he used to have a little pizzeria, too.
Yeah.
You could cut the fillets with a fork.
Is that the Spiffy Fox now?
Yeah.
Okay. Their stuff has been...
I see a lot of good stuff written about Spiffy Fox.
And debris.
Have you
tried it?
I have not yet.
I will try and get in touch with David Shipman. He's one of the owners. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if we can't schedule...
Noel Broughton is, too.
Hey,
Noel.
Hey, Noel. Yeah, see if they can have us in, and we'll record it, and we'll do a join us for some dinner, and we'll just try some of this stuff. Let me see if I can get in touch with David and schedule something, because when I saw it was open, I messaged David, and I said, "We're already. Let us know. We'll have you on the show." Also, I spoke with somebody that's opening a new restaurant, I want to say in Mississippi, but close to us, and I contacted them about when you are ready, come on the show, and we'll talk about it. Because Mississippi, especially if you're West Mobile, Mississippi's really close. And there's a lot of cool stuff over there. If you're in Baldwin County,
20 minutes or more, 20 to 30 minutes.
You're in Baldwin County, Florida's right there.
Yeah.
This is all our area, man.
We want to support local, but we want to support regionally, too.
And see, that's the thing. Ignore the lines on the map because Mobile is closer to Biloxi than it is to Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
And Biloxi's culture is a lot more like Mobile's than any of the rest of the part of the state of Alabama. Our culture in Mobile and Baldwin County is totally different from the other 65 or whatever counties in this state.
Yeah.
It's like living in a different state.
Well, we are along the coast.
We pay their bills for them. We pay the bills for everyone else.
Yeah, we do.
But we get to keep the beaches. Mm-hmm. But
there's great places in Pensacola. It's great places over Mississippi. Right. I used to go to every Sunday we'd go find something new over Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. And I have it, you know. I've got friends from Pensacola that have lived there and stuff like that. I need to eat somewhere in Pensacola other than Flounders and McGuire's.
Yeah.
Not that those aren't great places. Mm-hmm. They're phenomenal. They're some of the best restaurants on the Gulf Coast. But there are other great places in Pensacola, Biloxi, Pascagoula, Ocean Springs. We're going to have Carl Tilley in next week, and we're going to talk about some of the ones in Mississippi.
We're going to find out.
Say something, Mike.
Folks, get out there and support local.
Be local.
Eat local. Be local.
Yeah.
And tip those servers. We're still in a pandemic. Hopefully after this coming Friday, we'll be able to, sort of get things back to normal.
And don't forget, whatever you do today, remember to provolone. It's a giant.